Shall we pray? Precious and holy Father, we thank you that we are a people chosen to stand before you, Lord, in the merits of the Lamb. We are entirely chosen to be fashioned and formed in the fullness of Christ Jesus. And this creation, O God, is the painstaking work of the Holy Spirit. This creation, O God, is manifested, O God, in the revelation of the mystery of your will. For we are a people chosen to be your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for the good works you have ordained in our lives in all eternity, Father. An awesome work has begun in our lives. An awesome work is being progressed in conscious, subconscious, and unconscious terms. It is a work that stands in the stature of who our God is. It is in the stature of the Creator God, who has called us forth in his righteousness to be sons of the Most High. We want to bless you and thank you for the gift of your Son. And as you reveal him in our hearts, as you unveil his fullness within us, as you mold us and shape us in his fullness, as we are opened to function by the Holy Spirit, we want to thank you for what you have undertaken with each one of us. For we acknowledge that we are a difficult people, Father, that you have chosen to love us. Why, we don't appreciate that. But you have chosen to love us, Lord. And you have chosen to save us, and you have chosen to create us, and you have chosen, O God, to bless us. You have chosen to anoint us, you have chosen to gift us. You have chosen us to stand before you in the stature of who you are and all that you are. Indeed, we are the apple of your eye. And we want to thank you for having chosen us. For we understand that there's nothing we can give you back in return. So even as we worship you, we understand that you stand transcendent over your creation, Lord. You stand above everything that we can possibly give you. But we thank you that you are willing to accept what we bring before you. You are willing, O God, to develop what we bring before you into a greater and greater measure of the glory of your grace. We are deeply grateful for the awesome work that your Spirit is achieving in us in Jesus' name. Amen. We are on the mystery of the kingdom. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 13. The parable of the sower, verse 11. And he answered and said to them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has, shall be taken away from him." Verse 16. "But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear." And I hope you understand that if you are able to hear and understand, if you're able to see the things of God, it is the basis of everything that will bless you in all eternity. So don't think that it is something small, and don't think it is something that is just a matter of fact. "For truly I say to you," verse 17, "that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." He's talking about some pretty great men of God who lived in the Old Testament. People like Moses, people like Elijah, people like John the Baptist. Men who stood before God in the righteousness that is of the law. But you and I have been open to a different reality. A reality that stands in the righteousness of our God. And so when you are able to see something, when you are able to hear something, when you are able to receive something in your heart, understand that thousands and thousands of years have gone by for those revelations to come forth. that those revelations that are being manifested in your heart and my heart, even the angels have not seen before. It may not sound and feel spectacular today, but what God is building and developing within you and me are realities of the kingdom of heaven that will one day fill all in all that is of the universe of God. You and I have been given the privilege of receiving and realizing the fullness of Jesus Christ. And this is at the heart of the mystery of God. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. Verse 19. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. So the fullness is in Jesus Christ, and that fullness is to bring all things in heaven and on earth into reconciliation with God. Now, what is so important about this verse is that the fullness of Jesus Christ belongs to you and me. No angel has a right to that fullness, but we have been given that fullness. Let's turn to John chapter 1, verse 16. If you have a King James Bible, if you have a New King James Bible, if you have a New American Standard, this is what you will read. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. You see, the fullness of Jesus Christ that is to fill the universe has been given to you and me. Nobody else is party to that except the body of Christ. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. And it is this realization in Jesus Christ that opens the mysteries of God into our lives. That opens the mysteries of the kingdom of God into our lives. In a real sense, God is saying that in Jesus Christ, we are the inheritors of the kingdom of heaven. That in Jesus Christ, God has chosen to give us his kingdom as a heritage and as a possession. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 3 rather. Verse 8 ends with a phrase that is very important. It says, the unfathomable riches of Christ. That means they intellectually cannot be fathomed. It is unfathomable because it can only come by revelation. This is God's wealth. This is the wealth of God, the unfathomable riches of Christ. And to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery, if you have a New King James Bible, it says the fellowship of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God, which for ages has been hidden in God. Are you listening? But it's now being opened to people like you and me. Things that angels have sought to look into. Which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things, in order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church, the body of Christ, to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. And the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places stand in a very much higher stature than us today. But they are going to discover things from us that will astonish them. And those things that they are going to discover are part and parcel of the revelation of Jesus Christ that is entirely for us to discover. Verse 10 again. In order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. Eternal purpose. And people like you and me are being brought into that eternal purpose in and by and through Jesus Christ. I hope he who has a ear will hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. That what God has opened to the body of Christ is phenomenally above our carnal desires. So often we have allowed our carnal desires to undermine our position in God. So often we have had leaders in the Christian church who have destroyed a rich heritage that God has predestined to be revealed in the body of Christ because of carnal ambitions and carnal desires. And this has happened in every denomination of Christianity in different ways over history. And the utter stupidity of it all is phenomenal. And it's time for us to learn. And the learning begins with you and me. The learning begins with you and me. Somewhere there has to be a people who decide that enough is enough. We've had enough of human mediocrity stealing from us the richness of our Father's desire for each one of us. We have to have the courage and the conviction to walk into things that we in ourselves cannot comprehend, but which in God are meant to be a heritage, to be revealed and to be developed in each one of us so that we will stand in the heavenly places that God has called us to stand. That's what the mystery of the kingdom of heaven is all about. The mystery of the kingdom of heaven is about the unveiling of a new race of the sons of God in the heavenly places. That is the process that God has begun in our lives. And that process stands entirely in the righteousness of God. It is not about what you can do. It's about what God can do about with you. It's not about how anointed you are. It's about in whom is that anointing standing by? In whose strength? In whose power? In whose glory? It is no big deal to be anointed, brethren. The big deal is if that anointing stands for the glory of God, then you have realized something that is of the wealth of God. If that anointing operates in you in such a manner that it hallows the name of God, that anointing is a blessing. And that anointing will bless entire nations. If your gifting can stand in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth in your heart to glorify the Father, you are an eternal blessing. That's what God's talking about. God is not talking about our small-minded, carnal, twisted ways. Building little empires for ourselves and thinking that we have arrived. The mystery of the kingdom of God is to understand that you have a place before God. A high place before the Most High God. It is a secret place. It is under the shadow of the Almighty. The Almighty and All-Sufficient God, El Shaddai. That's what Jesus Christ has purchased for you and me in His blood. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. And this is what Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. He says, "Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. What is God talking about? What is the Lord talking about? He's not talking about the righteousness of man. He's talking about the righteousness of God. The least in the kingdom of heaven stands by the righteousness of God. That's why it is available to us. If it was based on our righteousness, then we will never be a party to it. Because it is entirely beyond our capacities, it is entirely beyond our intelligence, it is entirely beyond anything that we are capable of doing. But if it is in the righteousness of God, then all things are possible through Christ who strengthens me and you. And this is what God is talking about. That wealth that is of His heart. That wealth that He wants to develop in your life. That wealth for an administration suitable to the fullness of the times. We are called to be that administration. We are called to be that administration in a fellowship. In a fellowship that the Holy Spirit is charged with developing in us and amongst us. It is time for us to understand the higher things that God is talking about. Because we are like chickens running around looking for that worm. And when we find a worm, we think we have found the treasures of heaven. It is time for us to think and move like eagles in the winds of the Spirit. I mean the Holy Spirit. I don't mean the spirit realm. I mean the Holy Spirit. I mean the Spirit of the Sovereign God. The Spirit of the Sovereign God. The Holy Spirit who is the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit who is the Spirit of grace. The Holy Spirit who is the Spirit of life. The Holy Spirit who is the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Spirit who is the Spirit of our Father. The Holy Spirit who makes the ambitions of our Father's hearts alive to us in the fullness of the Son. The Holy Spirit who alone can bring the treasures of the Father's heart through the Son into us. Don't dismiss this message by thinking that this is too high for me. You are called to stand in the heavenly places. That's what your salvation is designed to do. You are called to be eagles. No matter where you have come from, no matter what your social background is, no matter what the color of your skin is, no matter what the gender of your sex is, whether you're male or you're female, this is the word of God. This is the covenant that God has sworn by oath in the blood of Jesus Christ. Because of the greatness of God's plan, Jesus went through the cross. That's why when we partake of Holy Communion, Jesus says, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. What was he fervently desiring? What was in the Father's heart. The guys he was breaking bread with were all going to run away. Except for John, the rest will run away. And yet, he, looking at the Father's heart and understanding the intentions of the Father's heart, understanding the mystery of God's will, understanding the wealth of the Father's heart, understood that he was standing in a pivotal position, a prophetic position in all eternity. He was standing poised to bring forth the one reality that will bring to fulfillment all that the Father has desired in his heart. And to think that people like you and me are going to be part of that is awesome. But all that is open to us in the merits of the Lamb. So when you go back to the Old Testament, you understand that when God gave a picture of what worship is, He gave it in the context of a whole system based on sacrifice. If you go back to the tabernacle of Moses, every manifestation of worship to a Jew was entirely based on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That is what God did in the temple. That's what God did in the tabernacle of Moses. Morning and evening sacrifices were made. Meaning to say that the fire on the altar, which was not allowed to go out, was entirely based on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Because it was only on the basis of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that those two chambers that were the covered chambers in the tabernacle of Moses were available to the human race. The holy place and the holy of holies. Only because of that sacrifice. You need to understand it is that sacrifice that is the righteousness of God. It is that sacrifice that enables us to commune with the living God. Nothing else. It is not the anointing. There is no doubt that one of the elements of what was in the holy place was about the anointing. The candlestand. But that anointing is Christ crucified. That's why when you look at the candlestand, you understand it was a beaten work. Let's turn to Exodus. Verse 31, chapter 25. Exodus 25, verse 31. Then you shall make a lampstand of pure gold. Gold representing holiness. Pure gold representing perfection in holiness. The lampstand and its base and its shaft are to be made of hammered work. Why hammered work? Because Jesus was hammered. Literally. And those of you who have seen the Passion of the Christ saw the literal hammering. Today we are guilty of just using the anointing in our whims and fancies. For our own carnal ambitions. The lampstand and its base and its shaft are to be made of hammered work. Its cups, its bulbs, and its flowers shall be of one piece with it. Verse 37. Then you shall make its lamps seven in number, and they shall mount its lamps so as to shed light on the space in front of it. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. So that lampstand is a hammered work. Where did that hammered work come out of? It came out of the sacrifice. We don't stand in the Holy of Holies because we deserve to stand in the Holy of Holies or just because God was merciful. We stand there in the merits of the Lamb. When the light of life is made manifest within us in Jesus' name, that light is a result of a hammered work. He was that hammered work. He is the anointed one. So that light burnt out of oil. Oil represents anointing. On the other side, there was also a table of showbread, the bread of the presence. Chapter 25, verse 30. I'm reading from the New American Standard. If you look at your King James Bible, it calls it showbread. But in the New American Standard, they have translated that word showbread, and this is what it means. And you shall set the bread of the presence on the table before me at all times. In Numbers chapter 4, verse 7, in the New American Standard, that bread of the presence is called the continual bread. Who is the bread of life? Jesus Christ is the bread of life. Where was the bread offered to you? On a cross. How was the bread offered to you? In a faith and a love that he chose to give us from his heart. Jesus Christ testified of the word of God. He brought to fulfillment the law and the prophets. Jeremiah talks in Jeremiah chapter 15 verse 16 about how he saw the bread and he ate the bread of the word of God. He found God's words and he ate them. So where do we find God's words? We find God's words in the testimony of Jesus. Otherwise, God's words will merely be a law to us, a law that we cannot observe. But when the word of God is given to us through Jesus Christ, it is given to us in the faith and love of Jesus, and we can understand it, we can receive it. So thou shalt not steal becomes a manifestation in us, in the nature and character of Jesus, that will never steal. That is the key. If God had given us the law as just a mere law, we would have died with that law. But because God fulfilled that law through the nature and character of Jesus that was put to test on the cross, we have something that is of the nature and character of Jesus that can make you and me a new creation. Therefore, we can become sons of God. So you find that the table of showbread was 12 loaves, 12 representing the body of Christ, 12 representing the tribes of Israel. And the third piece of furniture in the holy place was called an altar of incense. And the altar of incense is the fragrance of Jesus Christ, the Lord that you have come to taste and see, even as his fullness has been worked into us. And suddenly the heavenlies are open to us. The heavenlies are represented by the Holy of Holies. The heavenlies are represented by the Holy of Holies. And the Holy of Holies are open to us through this altar of incense. But the altar of incense is built out of the sacrifice of Jesus that has been manifested to us as the bread of life and has been brought into us as the light of life, so that we will have the fragrance of Jesus in our hearts. So when we worship God presenting the fragrance of Jesus Christ through the words that we express. When we make melody and song, we make melody and song in the fragrance of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, it has got no meaning to God. Just because you and I are musically talented, or we have good voices, or we can sing, means nothing to God. Unless the worship, the words of the songs are expressed in the meaning of who Jesus Christ is to you. Otherwise, there is no meaning to that before God. So the mystery of God's kingdom that opens the heavenlies to us opens in the altar of incense. And the incense is the fragrance of Jesus Christ. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 2, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14. But thanks be to God who always leads us in his triumph in Christ. Where was the triumph in Christ manifested? Through the cross. How was it manifested? In the resurrection of the Lamb. And manifest through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God. Why are we a fragrance of Christ to God? So that the heavenly places will be open to us. Because that is where our citizenship is, the kingdom of God. We are sons of God. We are no longer merely sons of men. You are no longer your father's son or your mother's son, or your mother's daughter or your father's daughter. You're far more than that. You are citizens of the kingdom of God. You are citizens whose citizenship is to be unveiled in the heavenly places. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, an aroma from death to death. And the world looks at us as a lost case. A bit peculiar in the head. That's what we are to them. To the other, an aroma from life to life. So if you read something like the biography of Brother Yun, you realize it is an aroma of life to life. That the witness and testimony of what he went through in suffering and pain, all that the communists inflicted on him in China, is a breath of life to the rest of the church. That as that book is read, it transforms the lives of those who hear it. Yes, he suffered. He went through excruciating pain and humiliation. But what a refreshment it is to the rest of us who read of what Jesus Christ has taken him through and brought him through. Supernaturally. To those who saw him in prison, he was an aroma from death to death. But to those of us who read his life today, to the other, an aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things? Praise the Lord. This is what God's talking about, the altar of incense. Let's turn to the prophetic significance of this altar of incense. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 2. For there was a tabernacle prepared, the outer one, in which were the lampstand and the table and the sacred bread. This is called the holy place. He's talking about the tent of meeting. He's talking about the holy place. But you notice that he mentions only two pieces of furniture here. The lampstand and the table of showbread, or the table of the bread of the presence. And in verse 3 he says, and behind the second veil there was a tabernacle which is called the Holy of Holies, having a golden altar of incense, and the ark of the covenant covered on all sides with gold, in which was a golden jar holding the manna, and Aaron's rod which budded, and the tables of the covenant. You suddenly see that the altar of incense is in the Holy of Holies. What is God depicting to us? That when we have the fragrance of Jesus Christ in our hearts, we can move into the Holy of Holies at the speed of thought. We can be in the presence of God at the speed of thought. In Psalm 24 verse 3 and 4, David says, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. The hill of the Lord, the mount of the Lord, are all behind the veil. The veil that was torn when Jesus Christ gave up his spirit. The veil that was torn from top to bottom. And to us that veil has been opened at the speed of thought. If we set our hope on Jesus Christ, Hebrews chapter 6 verse 19 says that our soul is anchored behind the veil. At the speed of thought. That's powerful. That is what is called grace. And the reason is because our hope is set on Jesus Christ. And suddenly you realize God is talking about a very powerful reality of grace that is open to us in very simple terms. Every one of us can be a party to it. You don't have to fast 40 days and 40 nights to set your hope on Jesus Christ. You don't have to put ashes and sackcloth and sit down in mourning in the tabernacle of God to be open to the presence of God. It is open to you at the speed of thought. If you're willing to focus your heart, setting your hope on what Jesus has accomplished for you on the cross, The mysteries of the kingdom of God are open to you at the speed of thought. You are open to the grace of God at the speed of thought. You're open to everything that the merits of the Lamb have given to you. In Jesus, faith and love. And nothing will be impossible to you. It is God who says to you that you are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for the good works that have been ordained beforehand, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And you need to hear and understand that the mysteries of the kingdom are open to you, grace upon grace, in the fragrance of Jesus Christ. Powerful, guys. So that is what the Christian life is all about. Learning how to give expression to Jesus Christ. In your relationships with your spouse. In your relationships with your children. In the way you work. In the way in which you minister. In the way in which you relate to your relatives, your extended families. Everything is an opportunity to worship God by manifesting the fragrance of Jesus Christ. Because ultimately worship is a lifestyle. And the potentials in your life and my life are awesome. We are a blessed people. Blessed beyond anything we have the capacity for. See, the Bible says categorically that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Through Christ who strengthens you, all things will be possible to you. That's the key. It is not meant to be something undertaken in your own flesh. It is not something that is to be undertaken in your own efforts. It is something that you are to realize through Christ who strengthens you. You are called to discover that you can live by Jesus Christ in everything that you say and you do all the time. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. That's all you have to do. If you fail, it's no problem. You can go back to Him and say, I failed. I let you down. I was afraid. I took the easy way out. He understands our human frailty more than anybody else understands it. But the key is to never let your hope on Him to be cut. It is not difficult to grow in God if you understand that growing in God is entirely a work of God. How else will you be grateful for what God accomplishes? What was accomplished on the cross, the Holy Spirit is going to accomplish in you. He will take of mine and He will disclose it to you, says the Lord. All that the Father has is mine, says the Lord. And He, the Holy Spirit, will take of mine and He will work it into you. And He will cause you to be a blessing. He will cause you to become what you cannot be in yourself, my son. So arise and walk. Do not be afraid. For there is nothing that is impossible to the Lord your God. Why are you afraid? Why do you fear men? For they cannot touch one iota of your life. For your life belongs to me, your life belongs to your God. There's nothing to fear, for the Lord your God is your Father. Why do you fear? There's nothing that I cannot do with you. Nothing that is impossible to me, because I am God, says the Lord. So why do you look at yourself and why do you struggle with what you can't do, when I can do all things for you, and I can do all things in you. I can create in you a clean heart. I can create in you a pure heart. I can give you a seeing eye and I can give you a hearing ear, says the Lord. What is it that is too difficult for me? Do you not know that I am God? That I spoke and the planets moved into place? I declared, and it was so. For there is nothing that is impossible to me. I'm not asking you to do your best for me. I'm asking you to receive my best that I have given you through the cross. Can you not see? Have you not heard? Can you not see? And have you not heard what the Lord your God is able to do with you? Praise the Lord. So receive of what God has for you and do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. For the sons of the desolate one will be more numerous than the sons of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Spare not. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your pegs, for you will spread abroad to the right and to the left. And your descendants will possess nations, and they will resettle the desolate cities. Fear not, for you will not be put to shame. Neither feel humiliated, for you will not be disgraced. But you will forget the shame of your youth and the reproach of your widowhood. You will remember no more, for your husband is your maker. For your husband is your maker, whose name is the Lord of hosts, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel, who is called the God of all the earth. Praise the Lord. For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. O afflicted one, storm-tossed and not comforted, behold, I will set your stones in antimony, and your foundations I will lay in sapphires. Moreover, I will make your battlements of rubies and your gates of crystal and your entire wall of precious stones, and all your sons will be taught of the Lord, and the well-being of your sons will be great. In righteousness you will be established, and you will be far from oppression, for you will not fear, and from terror, for it will not come near you. If anyone fiercely assails you, it will not be from me. Whoever assails you will fall because of you. Behold, I myself have created the smith who blows the fire of coals and brings out a weapon for its work, and I have created the destroyer to ruin. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that accuses you in judgment you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercy shown to David. Behold, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander for the peoples. Behold, you will call a nation you do not know, and a nation which knows you not will run to you because of the Lord your God, even the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. For you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush, the cypress will come up. And instead of the nettle, the myrtle will come up. It will be a memorial to the Lord for an everlasting sign which will not be cut off. Praise the Lord. So you are chosen of the Lord. It is the fragrance of Jesus Christ that will open to you the abundance that God has for you. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone forth from my mouth in righteousness and will not turn back. That to me every knee will bow, every tongue will swear allegiance. They will say to me, only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. Men will come to him, and all who were angry at him shall be put to shame. In the Lord all the offspring of Israel will be justified and will glory. Praise the Lord. The mysteries in the heavenly places. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. To 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. You listening? Why according to the riches of his grace? What is grace meant to do? Bring into you what you can't do. So God doesn't simply forgive in a theoretical sense. God forgives practically. When God forgives, he brings change in that forgiveness. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. In all wisdom and insight he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention which he purposed in him, that is Jesus Christ, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things upon the earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. Are you hearing the word of God? This is why we are talking about the mysteries of the kingdom. It is a revealed reality that God brings inside of you and he will develop inside of you. As you pray in tongues, this is what God is wanting to bring into you. Things that your mind cannot understand of itself. Things that are meant to be described inside of you in the faith and love of Jesus. You know, those things that were in his heart when he said, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Why did he have that fervent desire? What did he understand? What did he see? Why did he crawl to the cross? Why, while being traumatized in Gethsemane, he said, Father, let your will be done, not mine. Even though he sweat blood, why did he say what he said? What is it that he understood? What is it that he knew? This is what the spirit and life of Jesus is meant to communicate into you and me, so that we can see and understand and know the purposes of our God. That we will not be stuck with our carnal ways. So that we can understand the thoughts of our Father, who is the living God, who is the Most High God, who has called us to be sons of God, to stand in heavenly places in the Beloved, where we will inherit every spiritual blessing. Are you listening? So that we will be the basis of an administration suitable to the fullness of the times. What are we trying to say here? That you need to focus on what God has for you and not be caught up by the mediocrity of the world that we live in. You know, listen to what we pray for. We are so concerned with just what we do every day. We are not concerned about the destiny that God has for us. We are not concerned about the future of the human race. But we are called to understand that. Because if you and I develop a certain level of understanding, the generation after us will start off at a higher plane. That before we go to the Lord, that we will have obtained in our hearts a witness that we can bequeath to our generations after us. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 29:29. This is the key. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed. That's why it says mystery. Because a mystery has to be revealed by God. A mystery cannot be intellectually understood. A mystery can only be revealed by God. And he says, but the things revealed belong to you and to your sons forever. Why to your sons? Because it is something that you obtain and you can hand it down to somebody else. How do they obtain it? Simply by hearing and by accepting. Hearing, understanding, and accepting. Remember the parable of the sower? In the book of Matthew, it says you must hear and you must understand. In the book of Mark, it is written you must hear and you must accept. In the book of Luke, it is written you must hold fast to the word of God in a good and honest heart and live it. That's how the mysteries of the kingdom are opened. So if you obtain something, you can bequeath it to somebody else. That's how the kingdom of God works. We pass the baton on. But if we waste our lives away and we keep on just looking for that proverbial worm, thinking that our lives consist of the worms that the world system gives, and we are foolish. Because the secret things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of this law. It's through revelation that God enables us to become what we cannot be. You see, to observe all the words of the law, the entire Old Testament failed to do that. They were unable to observe the words of the law. So in Jesus Christ, God is bringing forth that fulfillment into us through the spirit and life of Jesus, through the faith and love of Jesus, through the character and nature of Jesus. When God gives you a word, he's not simply giving you a word intellectually. He's giving you the word in the character and nature of Jesus, in the testimony and witness of Jesus. It is no longer just a word called love. It is a word called love that is defined and explained and expressed in the life of Jesus. And that word is like a seed that God is planting inside of you. And the Holy Spirit is going to develop that word and make you out of that word. That's what God's talking about. That's how you were born again. He took the seed of Christ, he planted it inside of you, and lo and behold, he opened you to a whole understanding of a new universe. The universe of God, the kingdom of God. You have all been opened to it. Grace upon grace. Amen. So listen to the word of God. It is something that God is using to create you. You see, revelation is entirely God expressing something into you. It's got nothing to do with your intelligence. It's got nothing to do with what you know. When God takes something and he reveals it to you, it is entirely 100% the pure and undefiled word of God. It is his idea manifested inside of you. The secret things belong to God. They do not belong to the creature. But the things belong to God. When they are revealed to you, God makes you possessors of that reality. You listening? I hope you will not think that this is all too deep for me. That's not what it's meant to be. God will teach you. God will make you understand. God will expand your heart. He will expand your mind. He will transform your character and your nature. He will form Christ in you and make you a new creation. Amen? That's the key. Don't try so hard. Hello, that's the story of our lives. So where are all the things that you achieved? What is the meaning of all those things that you got A's for? Or you got accolades for? So you were Carl Lewis. And you won how many gold medals? 8, is it? Or 9 Olympic gold medals. What does it mean today? Nothing. In another 20 years, he's just history. That's not God's way. When you talk about Moses, he lives today. Hello. He lives today. He shapes lives today. Hello. When did this guy called Moses live? He lived something like 1,400 BC. So 3,400 years ago, there was this old bloke who looked after his father-in-law's sheep. He didn't even own his own flock. And today, he shapes lives. Because of whom? Because of God. Do you understand what you have in God? That is what we are talking about. There was this loudmouth fisherman who opened his mouth and put his foot inside of it so often, who betrayed his Lord. But look what he is doing today in your life. What his life means to you. That the words that he wrote down are transforming human lives today, are opening human hearts and opening human hearts into the depths of the riches of the wealth of the Father's heart. Isn't that amazing? What a difference between men of the world system. Who cares that Alexander the Great was great or called what? But Paul, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He is someone outstanding. He shapes human lives today. What a difference. Yet in his time he was treated like a dog. But today he stands across space and time as a son, a blessing to nations, a blessing in all eternity. Isn't that something else? Think about it, guys. The evidence is always there for you to examine. The evidence is always there for you to examine. There's nothing in the Christian faith that is based on hyped up nonsense. We don't have to hype up the gospel. The gospel stands as a fact. There's no need to market the gospel. The gospel is solid gold, man. The wealth of the Father's heart. It is wealth that is indestructible. It is life that is indestructible. Because it is expounded into your heart by the Holy Spirit in the fullness of Jesus Christ. That's why. If it was merely words in a book, then it will die. But because it has been, it is being expounded into you by in the fullness of Jesus Christ. That's why it is wealth. That's what the Holy Spirit is bringing into you. So open your hearts and ask the Lord to teach you. Ask the Lord to train you. Stop trying your best. Our best will never achieve what God has planned, guys. Look at what he's talking about. If you've heard anything in this whole message, you realize we are talking about things that nobody in the human race can do. Hello. Am I right? We're talking about things that nobody in the human race can do. We're talking about things that God has planned to do, using you and me. Praise the Lord. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. And who are we? Really, who are we? Praise the Lord. Shall we just pray? Father, we thank you for the mysteries of your kingdom, that we have seeing eyes and hearing ears. We have discerning hearts, all of which you have given us and all of which you are developing in us by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Father, we want to thank you and bless you for all that stands in the name of Jesus. We want to bless you and thank you, O God, for the awesome reality, O God, of the glory of your grace. Let all that is within us be open to the to what your heart is saying to us, Lord, what you have bequeathed to us in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So move us to realize, O God, what you have ordained in our lives. Move us to understand that all this has been given in the merits of the Lamb. All this is your workmanship in our lives. Let us not be constrained by what we see and what we feel and what we understand. Enable us to understand that the Word of God is speaking of a new creation, the sons of God, that you are meaning to manifest each one of us as. So open us to that understanding, and open us, O God, to receive and realize from you what you have given to us in Jesus' name. We want to bless you and thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Master, with thanksgiving, we bless you, Father. Amen. So let us celebrate communion, Luke 22. Why do we celebrate communion? Because it is a celebration of God's plan in our lives. It's a celebration of God's plan in our life based on the price that Jesus Christ has paid for each one of us. So Luke 22 verse 14 reads, "And when the hour had come, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him." That's key. You have a place with the Lord. We don't deserve it, but it has been given. These guys who were sitting with him were going to betray him in a little while. But nonetheless, they were with him. And he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Or, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Fulfillment. Fulfillment in your life. That's what this Passover is all about. You are called to receive that fulfillment. You are called to realize that fulfillment. You're called to understand that the cross is an expression of the faith and love of Jesus that is a basis of this fulfillment. I keep saying that. I hope you are hearing it. So how do you get in touch with the faith and love of Jesus? By remembering him through your tongues. That's why God gave you tongues, to take hold of Jesus Christ, to take hold of his testimony, to take hold of his witness, to take hold of his character and his nature, to take hold of his spirit and his life, to take hold of his faith and his love. What do you want from Jesus? To take hold of his nature, to take hold of his character, to take hold of the mind of Christ. Not to do supernatural tricks, to take hold of Jesus, because if Jesus is there, all the rest will come in place. Huh? It's a Passover. It's powerful. Fulfillment, guys. We celebrate Holy Communion because we are celebrating fulfillment in our lives. Amen. You know, fulfillment in all eternity, guys. Can you just think of that? For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. What does that cup represent? His witness. That all this is true. It is meant for the entire human race. But so sad, so many people don't want it. So many people will bow before a dragon and a cobra. That is the tragedy of the human race. So many want to bow before a dragon and a cobra, insisting that the dragon represents prosperity and that cobra represents goodness. So take this and share it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. The fruit of the vine. He is the true vine. If he is the vine, then all of the fruitfulness comes out of him. But the fruit of the vine are found on the branches of the vine. We are the branches of the vine. So everything that God gave us in Jesus Christ is meant for our fruitfulness. So how can we fail? We can't fail. But the tragedy in the Christian church is we keep on doing things in our own strength. We are in a hurry. Without understanding that it is more important that we manifest the right kind of fruit than simply pretend that we are being fruitful. We can't conjure up fruitfulness because ultimately the test of fruitfulness is whether it will stand the test of time. If all of us could understand that if we can just bring out that measure of fruitfulness that God wants to manifest in our peculiar lives for the time that we have ahead of us, that is all that matters to God. So be faithful. You don't have to be in the limelight. Why it's so great about this limelight? And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it. You know what I'm saying? If you have a ministry and God has a call on your life, and all of us have a call on our lives, do what God wants you to do. Understand the difference between faith and presumption. Faith always testifies of the work of God in your life. Presumption is always of the ambition of man. For your own good, please know the difference. Why are you in a hurry? Oh, I've got such a short time. Brother, you are a creature of eternity. What is short time for you? Get it right, for heaven's sake. Get it right. Let it be the fruit of God in your life so that you can celebrate the goodness of God and you can understand when you leave this planet Earth that I have realized something of God in my life, and it's real, it is genuine, it is tangible. It is something with which I can bless another person. Do you not know that that bread God will multiply and he can feed multitudes with it? But get it right. What is so great about this need to be recognized? One day you will shine as a morning star. Everyone will see you. That is God's plan for you. Why do you need to shine now when you are no star at all? Why do you want to be a half-baked star? Huh? God gives you a ministry, you get 200 people, you start getting all kinds of fancy ideas of how anointed you are. Come off it, grow up, man. There are human lives at stake. Huh? Get it right, do the right thing, do it for the right reasons. Do it for the glory of God. Get it right in your heart. I'm doing this for God's glory, and I know it, and I want it, and I desire it to see God glorified. That is what this communion is all about. God is not going to honor half-baked stuff. You know that. Come off it. It has to be the genuine article. Because when it's tested with fire, you will know the difference. Let me just read to you what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 11. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. God will never recognize any other foundation. Stop kidding yourself that you have paid the price. Now, if any man builds upon the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. And if any man's work which he has built upon it remains, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as so as through fire. So we can't run away from it. Huh? Verse 19 of chapter 22 of Luke. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We are members of his body, blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Jesus told the Jewish leadership, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it." That temple is you and me. Amen. You need to understand how powerful is that idea of you being a temple unto God. Because in that temple, God will manifest himself. That's what makes you so wonderfully made. That in his heart, God's greatest desire is to manifest himself within you and me. That is the great blessing. If you have God in you, what else do you need? Do you understand? And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." God has sworn an oath over your life. Only you can reject that oath. But the oath has been sworn. The oath has been sworn to make you and me sons of God. The oath has been sworn that we will be a blessing to nations. The oath has been sworn that we are blessed in the heavenly places with every blessing. The oath has been sworn that the mystery of Christ is ours to receive, to realize, and to express to the powers in the heavenly places. Isn't that wonderful news? All this we don't deserve. All this Jesus paid the price for. Why is it difficult to give him the glory? Doesn't he deserve it? Doesn't he deserve it? Who else deserves it? The glory is his, but the glory that is his will be manifested in you and me. That's what God is saying. Yes, the glory is his, but his glory will be manifested in you and me. So why do you grumble? I ask you to give him the glory so that you will be able to stand glorified in him and by him and through him. But the glory that he has given to you. But in order for that glory that is given to you to stand, you have to turn around and give it to him. But you will experience it, you will enjoy it, and you will truly function in it. Isn't that an excellent plan? Is it not an equitable plan? Is it not fair? So don't take glory for yourself. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you for the wonder of your Son given to us. Father, in spite of our many, many weaknesses, O God, your word is speaking of a humongous plan and purpose for each one of us. For fallen man to be saved and to be brought into such positions in the heavenly places is inconceivable to the mind of man. But it is your heart to do that for us. And so we want to thank you and we want to bless you. Although we can't conceive how this will all come forth, it is sufficient for us that you have said so, that your word guarantees it by oath that you have sworn in the blood of the Lamb. And we celebrate that oath as a growing fulfillment in us, amongst us, as the body of Christ across the world and in the heavenly places, both Jew and Gentile. Bless therefore these elements of the bread and wine, that they shall be to us by your Holy Spirit the unveiling of the fullness of Jesus Christ, the exposition of the Word of God in the spirit and life of Jesus, in the faith and love of Jesus, in the character and nature of Jesus, in the witness and testimony of Jesus, that will enable us all to become blessed of thee and a blessing to you, Father. Hallowed be thy name. We want to thank you and bless you for all that is contained, O God, prophetically in these elements of bread and wine. All that the Holy Spirit is charged with making alive and developing in us, in Jesus' name. All that will enable us one day to walk before you and be holy and blameless before you. We want to thank you. We want to bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we want to bless you and thank you, O God, for the living bread that came down out of heaven. Of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. And because we have received his fullness, all things are possible in our lives. So often we fail to understand that that fullness has already been given to us, Lord. It's not a question. It is not an if or but. It is not something we have to qualify for. It has been given to us unconditionally on the cross. And so we want to thank you, Lord, that your witness to us is truthful. Your witness to us is always faithful. Only we can deny what you have given. And as we partake of this Holy Communion, we are grateful that the fullness of Jesus Christ belongs to us. And so we thank you for the living bread that we receive. And as we receive of this living bread in the many ways in which you're bringing this bread of life into us, we are thankful for the painstaking work of the Holy Spirit. We know it is not easy to work with us, Father, for we are a stubborn-hearted people. Very difficult in our many ways, O Lord. But you have won a great victory in each one of our lives. It is a growing victory. We are grateful for that victory. And we want to thank you, O God, for the future that you have given us in your grace and in your mercy. Father, we bless you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for the cup poured out for us in a living witness of blood, water, and spirit. This witness is an indestructible witness. It has been given entirely to each one of us. And we thank you that the Holy Spirit is developing this witness from our inward parts, so that we will truly do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That is our destiny. And as we learn to realize that reality, Father, how blessed we are. How good is your heart towards us. How good, O God, are the intents of your holy will. So we bless you with gratitude in our hearts. We bless you, Holy Spirit, for persevering with us. We bless you, Lord Jesus, that you are the apostle and high priest of our confession. We bless you and thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the author and finisher of our faith. We bless you and thank you, Lord Jesus, that you ever live to intercede for us. We bless you and thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you are mediating the covenant of life into us. We bless you, Lord Jesus, that your fullness is ours. And this witness will manifest that fullness in fully functional church terms. So bless the church in this reality. We ask this, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. For the revealed word that you mean to develop in our lives. And we know that through that revealed word, you will create us, you will fashion us, you will form us. You will bring into us new desires, new attitudes, a new thinking process, a new nature, a new character. All of it in conformance to Christ Jesus. So as we set our hope on Him, Father, we set our hope on Him so that we will become like Him. Because that is the intent of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, to make us like Jesus, to make us in His image and to make us out of His fullness, to form Christ in us and to enable us to be a blessing. So as we learn how to do that, as we learn how to depend on you, as we learn, O God, how to live you in everything that we do every day, as we discover you in our marriage, as we discover you in raising up our children, as we discover you, O God, in living with our family members, O God, as we discover you in our workplaces, in our professions, in our businesses, as we discover you in the ministry, O God, that you have given us, Father, then we will understand why you said, I am the life. So bless us, O God, so that we may live by you. And in living by you, we will be set free. We thank you that you have ordained this in your holy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now may the blessings of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come upon you, remain in you, grow in you. May you come alive to the Lord your God, to know Him, to love Him, to belong to Him. That you will understand His ways and be blessed by all that He has for you in His heart. May you rise by the Holy Spirit and walk into the good things that the Lord your God has ordained for you. May you walk in strength and may you walk in courage. And may you keep your eyes firmly fixed on Jesus. For of His fullness you have all received. Therefore, arise and walk in Him. And do not be afraid. For no matter how difficult the situations and circumstances may appear to be, the victory of the Lamb is yours to receive, to realize, and to express. And you cannot be defeated. So go forth in the name of Jesus. Be blessed and be a blessing always to the Father's glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you.